Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to a monumental conversation episode, because we are in the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah.
Finally there. It's been good.
And what's interesting about the last chapter in the book of Nehemiah is that it skips forward in time. So Nehemiah's timeline is 444 BC, about that, when he came back with the paperwork from Artaxerxes, when he got the project started. And remember, by the way, Caleb here is with me. the project itself took a relatively short period of time, and then the revival and all of that. But, you know, Nehemiah has a job. Yep. He's got to get back to Persia to take care of the king, do the cupbearing and all that. So he goes back, and we don't know the exact time frame, but he goes back for quite some time. And now he returns. We're looking at about 433 BC, so reckon time inclusively, and you have about 12 years. So Nehemiah comes back, and when he comes back, things are a little bit in disarray.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. You know, chapter 12 leaves off on a good note of all the things that they've done, and we see some people pointing to action, the covenant that they've made. And then, like you said, for that time, he has to go back. And during that time, sadly, we see the people haven't necessarily kept with the covenant that they had just made.
And how like that is, all, you know, we are like that too often. Prone to wander is the song we sing.
Yeah.
Lord, I feel it. And time sometimes erodes our decisions.
Yeah.
And last episode, we were talking about the practicality of the separation that came from the renewal of the covenant. So it was a positive separation. Remember, they were separated unto the word of God, the work of God. And then we saw it was a practical separation. So the separation took the form of their relationships, their marriages, remember, and then their work. It found its way into the way they bought and sold, and the honoring of the Sabbath day, and then their worship. Yeah. So in those three big rock areas, their family, their work, and their worship, they were walking the walk and talking the talk. And now, years later, Nehemiah comes back, and what I find ironic, Caleb, is in Nehemiah 13, those are the three areas that he has to address in reverse order. He first of all deals with their worship, then he deals with their work, and then he deals with their marriages. So isn't it interesting that the three specific areas of decision, of getting right, of separation, have now all been compromised?
Right. Yeah, and when we make decisions like that, it's not happenstance or coincidence that those are the areas that seem to get attacked very quickly thereafter.
So let's dive
into spiritual warfare.
No, I agree for sure. So let's dive into the first area. So friends, we're in Nehemiah chapter 13, and the chapter begins by saying, "On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people." And when the Bible references "on that day," it's not a reference back to chapter 12, because that would have been years before. It's really a reference to what Nehemiah is doing in expelling somebody from the temple in verses 4 through 7. So look at it. We'll get there. Look at verse 1 again. So they read in the book of Moses, which we would understand would be the covenant.
Yeah.
In other words, the very covenant to which they had subscribed, the first five books of the Bible, they said they read in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, and this is specifically a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 23. So they found this passage that said, "The Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. So what happened was, Nehemiah came back from Persia to check on the people. And when he came back, things were not in good shape. And one of the things was they were not practicing the separation anymore. They were kind of allowing the mixed marriages. They were allowing some elements in the worship that included the Ammonites and the Moabites, which was specifically prohibited by the law of God. And now they read the law again, and people are reminded, people are repenting, and people are returning in verses 1-3. But all of that hinges on one big thing that Nehemiah discovered that just ticked him off. Because Nehemiah, he was righteously indignant in this chapter.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to see some things in a couple episodes where Nehemiah does some things that are like, wow. I mean, there are some pretty demonstrable ways by which Nehemiah demonstrates, I am angry at how you've turned back, you've backslidden from your commitment to the Lord.
Yeah.
So he really had a passion for God. And I understand that. And Nehemiah was that man in whose heart God had placed that original burden. Mm-hmm. And he had a burden for the people to worship God, to love God, to be in a safe environment with all that could take place. So here's a man that's given his life's blood to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem so that God can be honored. So he comes back, he sees the walls, they're perfectly built.
Yeah.
He sees the city, the structure, it looks great. But what's happening is people are not honoring God. So what good is a nice building? What good is a beautiful wall if it's not accomplishing the purpose for which you came to build it?
Mm, yeah, and how relatable is that to church today?
It really is.
And I think some people, a lot of Christians, sadly, we're not bothered by those types of things. You know, and we see his passion moved him to this righteous indignation. I think something that is lacking is we tend not to get upset too often about lackadaisical church, and we sit there and we let every Sunday just kind of be the same. But if we're passionate about the things of God, that's going to show up in the way that we worship, or the way that we go about the things of God.
Or the way that we even respond to our own sin.
Yeah.
What I picture here is I picture a pastor or a Christian leader who has been part of building a ministry and then coming back years later and seeing compromise or seeing his life's labor being people not using the structure, the building, the effort in a way that honors God. So I see Nehemiah taking it personally.
Yeah.
is what I'm saying. Look at verse 4, where it says that before this. So remember, on that day, they're reading the book of the law. They're discovering that they've allowed some compromises with the Ammonites and the Moabites, that God had said, listen, I want you to practice this separation. And they're making good decisions. Well, what was the event that predated that reading of the law that kind of got Nehemiah, got his dander up? Look at verse 4. So before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. So the man that was left in charge of worship, Eliashib, the high priest, he's buddies with Tobiah. Remember, Tobiah is one of the three main critics.
Mm-hmm.
And do you, I don't know if you were the one that did the podcast with me, Caleb, but all the way back in chapter 6, so this would have been years before from what's happening in chapter 13, Tobiah had been so critical of the building of the wall, but when the wall was built, The Bible says he began to write all these nasty letters, these intimidating letters. And where was he getting all the information? Well, the Bible says that Tobiah, and readers, you can check this out, or listeners, I should say, you should check this out in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. You'll find out that Tobiah was the son-in-law of an important person in Jerusalem, and he was also his daughter-in-law was also tied in. So Tobiah had family connections to Jerusalem, and he played that. He played those connections where he couldn't win with outright criticism, outright ridicule. Now he's working his angles.
Yeah.
He's staying close. He's got family in the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his uncle is there.
Yeah.
You know, his cousin is one of the deacons. And so he's really working it, isn't he?
Yeah.
And what we find is that he's worked it so far that now that Nehemiah has been gone for these years, he's worked his way back in through his family connections.
Mm-hmm.
And watch, I mean, religious politics. I mean, come on.
Right.
Look at verse 5. And he had prepared for him, Eliashib did, he prepared for Tobiah a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings. And meat offerings in the Bible would refer to food. So it wouldn't be meat as in a steak. Although I could go for a steak right now.
Always.
but grain and wheat and, you know, the things that would be offered to the Lord. The storeroom.
Yep.
So Eliashib had taken one of the storerooms that was supposed to store things that would be offered in sacrifice in honor to God. He had cleaned out the storeroom and had given Tobiah a little hotel room. The Bible says, aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes, the new wine, the oil, all the things that were for the house of God. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 230th year, in other words, Nehemiah said, all this happened when I was gone. Yeah, he went back to Artaxerxes, and then, you know, he came back after certain days. So when Nehemiah comes back, Tobiah is, man, he's living in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in, there he is playing his video games and sitting on his nice lazy boy chair and playing some Xbox or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's what I picture.
Uh-huh.
You know, this critic, this guy that would love to see Jerusalem just weak and the walls broken down, is now enjoying a spot right in the middle of all of it. Hmm. You talk about a bad situation. Yeah. So what does Nehemiah do? I've got to hasten because we're out of time. But I came to Jerusalem. I understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing a chamber in the courts of the house of God. It grieved me sore. Man, it just really upset me. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. I commanded they cleanse the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Could you picture that? He's taken his nightstand, he's taken his bed, he's taken his table and his chair, and he's throwing it out in the street.
Yeah.
You know, get out of here. And then he's taken all of the things that belonged in that room and putting it back.
Mm.
And Caleb, I mean, we're essentially out of time, but think about that as an illustration. You know, over the years, things can creep back into the spot in our life that where God belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point at which we've got to see it. And sometimes it takes somebody else who's not seen us in a while.
Right.
Who comes back and says, what in the world is going on? Mm-hmm. And then we need to say, you're right. These things shouldn't be back in my life. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to purge that central place in my life, that heart, those heart issues. I'm going to get them out, and then I'm going to put back in all the things that belong to God.
Wow.
The elements of sacrifice, the elements of purity, the elements of holiness. I'm going to get back where I need to get back to.
Yeah. What a powerful illustration.
It is a powerful illustration. And it's an illustration, my friends, that I hope you'll keep in the forefront of your mind today. What is it over time that has crept back into your life? What is it that now has a resting place in your innermost chamber? Why don't you just deal with it? Or maybe you can talk to somebody whom you respect that would say, you know what, here are some things I see, because that's what Nehemiah did. And then be willing to face God and face yourself and get those things removed. So a great teaching today from Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1-9. Look forward to you coming back tomorrow, or I should say next episode, and we'll look forward to wrapping up this great book in the Old Testament. Thank you, my friends, for joining us today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.